I invite you to turn in your pew Bibles to page 786 as we reflect on this heartwarming section of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. For starters, I'd like us to consider attention-grabbing phrases from Matthew chapter 5, verses 29 through 30. Words from Scripture we probably will not use as slogans for St. John's in Old Town. Bible verses unlikely to be stitched into throw pillows for loved ones in times of need. Jesus says, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. Right now, I am so thankful to be an Episcopalian. One of the unjust, groundless criticisms leveled at followers of Jesus in the Episcopal Church is that we don't take the Bible seriously. That is patently untrue, as evidence of how we're about to interpret this passage. We're actually going to use reason to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest these words from Jesus. Reason tells us that Jesus is actually using hyperbole here to make a point. Exaggerated statements from Jesus while discussing the topics of anger, adultery, divorce, as well as making and keeping promises. You see, we have to take a satellite view of this passage, and when we do that, it is clear that Jesus is trying to teach us something about how to relate to one another when relationships take a bad turn. And relationships do take bad turns. It is human nature. The Christian word we could use for this would be sin. And sin, as some may already know, it's a term that's used in archery, as in bows and arrows. If one shoots an arrow at a target and misses, that is called sin. The same applies in our relationships with God and one another. When we miss God's target, we sin. That and $5 will get you a cup of coffee anywhere. So when we sin in relationships, how do we work to get everything back on target? Well, we can draw wisdom from the Scriptures. Think of the book of Genesis. It focuses on the different challenges people face in relationships, different sibling rivalries and their outcomes, sometimes not pretty, most of the time not pretty. Cain and Abel, sons of Adam and Eve, give us the first recorded act of violence in the Bible, religious violence. Thank you, gentlemen. There is somewhat of a less heated rivalry between the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Ishmael, the outgrowth of jealousy between Sarah, Isaac's mother, and Hagar, Ishmael's mother, Leah and Rachel's sisterly husband-sharing feud is well documented. Sounds like TLC. Leah, with her desire to make Jacob love her, and Rachel's desire to have a child with Jacob. The dissension between twin brothers Jacob and Esau eventually results in a somewhat strained reconciliation following a more than two decade-long separation. But fortunately, the book of Genesis closes with Joseph forgiving his 10 older brothers from two different mothers who sold him into slavery, and blessings all around are shared by their father, Jacob. Now, these Bible stories don't wrap up nicely in a pretty bow because life cannot always be wrapped up nicely in a pretty bow. Families are not perfect, and as we read in the Bible, families come in different shapes and sizes, from nuclear to atomic. And yet still, it is through families large and small where God chooses to work and where we can learn how God desires us to be. Each and everybody in this room can point to some dysfunction within our families, which leads to the question, how do we address that dysfunction so that we can, as it says in the prayer books, baptismal service, grow into the full stature of Christ. We're actually supposed to mature in our relationship with Jesus in a culture where immaturity and infantilization are in vogue. Today's gospel lesson, I think, gives us some insights on how to deal with various dysfunctions of life through spiritual maturity. And again, I believe our first clue is hidden in the extreme statements Jesus makes. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. Well, we all know that's nonsense. Cutting out an eye or amputating a hand won't keep us from sinning, from doing anything wrong, because the source of sin is not an eye or a hand or a foot or a nose. It's actually the heart. And I'm reminded here of a phrase in the book of the prophet Joel, a reading we'll have on Ash Wednesday, a week and a half from now, in which the Lord says, "Rend your hearts, not your clothing." Which means when dealing with our spiritual health, like penitential observances for personal and corporate sin, we cannot deal with things simply on the surface, because our relationships with God and one another, they are not superficial. At least they're not supposed to be. And yet, how often when we encounter relational problems in our lives do we treat the symptom and not the source? Jesus calls us to address the source of our problems, our hearts, and not just the symptoms. We can faithfully infer this from the pattern he uses in his language. And if we were to look at chapter 5, verses 21 through 22, 27, 28, 31, 32, 33, 34, you have it in the bulletins there, but there's a pattern. And Jesus begins each little section in this part of the Sermon on the Mount by saying, "You've heard that it was said, but now I say to you," you've heard it was said, but now I say. We can know what the commandments are. We can know the rules. We can know how to follow the rules. We can know how to manipulate the rules. And yet, at the same time, we can still be oblivious to why certain rules were made to begin with and whether or not those rules still apply in our current context. Plus, we all know with critical thought that we have experiences in life for which there are no rules. There's a lot of gray area in life, which means we need to think critically when deciding whether and how to apply certain rules when we enter uncharted territory. And so to help us with this task of what the church might call discernment, Jesus uses these phrases, "You've heard it was said, but I say to you." Let's take just one example. When we're angry, yeah, it's really easy to insult someone. In our day and age, to post something hateful on social media, to engage in character assassination, to murder somebody else without actually killing them, mind you. And no, I didn't actually take the other person's life. I kept the law at the surface. I didn't break any rules. But while I technically did not commit murder, might we say that on a deeper level, a relationship has died. A bond of love has been broken. A piece of my soul is forever scarred. Jesus invites us not to be satisfied with simply keeping all the rules. Jesus calls us to a deeper ethic, to understand the source of what separates us from those we are called to love, to examine the root of our sin, to allow him to transform our hearts, and with him as the center of our lives, to the degree that we can, engage in the hard work of mending all the damaged relationships in our lives. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.